Jason Parry, Executive Mayor of Croydon.
How has the last year gone? Because we're coming into a year now, aren't we?
We are just over a year, actually. So, it's been a great privilege to have been elected as Mayor of Croydon and to have served in that role. Clearly, Croydon is in a challenging place, so it's been a challenging year. But throughout the year, it's obviously been great to get round to meet the many communities and hear all the good stuff that's happening across the borough, as well as tackling the big issues for the borough.
It's an historic role, and for people who aren't exactly sure how it works, can you briefly explain what the difference is between having an elected mayor and the old cabinet role?
So I guess essentially I'm the leader of the council. So traditionally in a London borough or most councils, you would go to the local elections, elect all your councillors, the largest party becomes the party that takes control, and then within that party they elect a leader who then becomes leader of the council. So in Croydon, we're one of five London boroughs that have an executive mayor, an elected mayor. So I'm actually elected directly by the people. So I have a direct mandate from the people of Croydon to run the executive functions of the council. So setting the budget, planning policy, looking after our parks, our roads, etc. So the general running of the council, essentially, but elected directly by the people. So I have a direct personal mandate.
But it's an autonomous role, isn't it? So you could effectively overrule the council on decisions.
Yeah, it's not quite. I mean, we're in a unique position in Croydon because we previously had a Labour council. We now have a Conservative mayor, so a change of administration. But the actual council itself, so there's still 70 councillors in Croydon, the actual council itself is in no overall control. So whilst I'm the executive of the council, there are certain things I have to take to council, such as my budget for council to approve. And council needs to have two-thirds of the council to amend something that I bring forward. But we then still need a simple majority to approve what I bring forward. And that's on the policy frameworks. There's only, as I say, the budget is the main one. So there are elements that I need to take to council and council need to approve, if you like. But they need two-thirds of the councillors to amend something. And at the moment, we have 34 Labour councillors, 34 Conservative councillors, including myself, two Greens and one Liberal. So a genuinely no overall control council.
And you came in at a really difficult time. That's probably an understatement for Croydon. They declared themselves bankrupt in £1.6 billion worth of debt. So what was the first thing you had to do? I mean, that's a pretty scary role to be taking on after it had been so publicly declared that Croydon was really struggling financially.
Yeah, a very difficult role. And, you know, I'm a Croydon boy and I've kind of watched my hometown kind of disappear down this bankruptcy route. And that's really what I wanted to tackle, get us back on track, get us back on the map for the right reasons. So the first job was to start tackling the finances. And as you rightly say, we've got this £1.6 billion worth of debt. Last year, that cost us £50 million a year to service the debt. This year, £60 million. It's cost. Next year, it's going to go up to nearly £70 million. So the costs of servicing that debt are going up the whole time. And one of the first things I did was an exercise called opening the books. So I wanted to get down to what is the bedrock, what's actually solid here that we can build from. And we uncovered a huge range of further legacy issues within the council's accounts. We've still got 3 years of accounts unaudited here, so 3 years of open accounts, which carries big risks. But we had £161 million of additional costs that we found and £49 million of additional costs every year going forward. So the situation is actually worse than we thought. But we're now, you know, making steps to get us back into financial sustainability. And we're working very closely with the government around how the government can support us to be a sustainable local authority again. I mean, if we were a business, we'd be insolvent and we wouldn't be able to trade our way out of it. You know, you can trade your way out of a difficult period, but with this debt burden we have, it's just an impossibility to trade out. We need that wider support from government.
To most people, that number just won't mean anything because it's just simply too huge. What does it mean in real terms if you're a person living in Croydon? Perhaps if you are reliant on the council for maybe some benefits, what does it mean in real terms for the person living in Croydon?
The reality, as you rightly say, 1.6 billion is just a huge number. It's the debt of a small country, effectively. So it is a huge number. It's difficult to quantify. The previous Labour Council were borrowing effectively £15,000 an hour every hour. So that kind of gives you some context as to how the borrowing got out of control. The impact on our residents, there are two impacts. One is we've had to put through a very large council tax increase. So you'll be aware that we had a 15% council tax increase this year, which is not something that was pre-planned, not something that any politician would want to do, but something that we needed to do, to start the process of balancing our books and having that conversation with government about how we move Croydon forward. And a really difficult decision. On the back of that, we put a hardship fund in place to support those that would be really adversely affected by it. So there's a £2 million hardship fund. And I guess the reality for Croydon residents is a number of services have been cut in recent years and are still being cut. So this year, there are £36 million worth of savings and cuts going through in the budget. And that's on top of the extra income coming in. So it's a real mixture. And I'm hoping that we can get through this period of cuts and kind of start to rebuild the council in the future. But we do have council tax support scheme, £33 million goes back in benefits. Housing benefits and all those various things still exist. So it's a really difficult situation. And a lot of residents are angry about the whole situation, which is really understandable. We're angry about it. I'm angry about it. It's my hometown as well. And it's going to be a difficult journey to get back to sustainability. I think we're now on the right path to doing that. And I hope that, we will be able to rebuild our local services in the future once we've resolved how we deal with this debt burden.
What timescale are you looking at? Do you have any idea?
To be honest, no. I mean, we need some form of response from government this summer so that we can start to plan ahead. We kind of work on 3-year cycles of planning in local government. But this debt burden is generational. It's going to be there for a very long time. So there's no, I can't give you a firm deadline right now, but we are working, as hard as we possibly can to get it totally under control so that we can be a normal functioning local authority again.
And you mentioned that the previous administration, which was Labour, was in charge of the borrowing, and that administration has obviously gone. But the Conservatives are not having a good time nationally. Are you worried at the next election it could all be reversed again?
I mean, clearly, national, we're dealing with a Conservative government at the moment. I mean, the government wants to be seen to be dealing with everybody equally and fairly. There are obviously other authorities in trouble, Slough, Thurrock, and others. So I think the government are trying to develop a framework about how do you deal with local authorities that are in financial difficulties. So that's something they're working through. Clearly, if there is a change of government, then we will be dealing with different people and potentially policy positions may change. And that's one of the risks on the horizon. For any local authority, it's something we're all very mindful of.
And it's not all negative. I see recently NatWest has decided they're going to stay in Croydon. They've taken out another lease in the town centre. Stormzy's just been handed freedom of the borough. You've had a Caribbean-influenced exhibition taking place. You've got numerous new school streets. It is easy to see negativity, but there's quite a lot of good things that are going on as well.
Yeah, there's lots and lots of good stuff going on. And we have to understand the context of a borough that's in financial problems, but there's still great stuff going on. We're still, we're London's largest borough, London's greenest borough, London's youngest borough. We've got fantastic communities here. The diversity of the borough, is brilliant, the way that we all work together as a community. We've got the London Borough of Culture, which is running this year, and we've had a really successful launch of that. We've got some great events coming up over the summer, sort of a summer of festivals. We've got the Tallawah Theatre at Fairfield Halls, putting on new productions, Stanley Arts doing things. So huge amount going on. And also, against that backdrop of the finances, we've managed to start reforming the planning processes in Croydon. We've started cleaning up our streets, started removing graffiti, you know, recreating a sense of place and helping to restore residents' pride in the borough. Westfield have bought out Hammerson, so we've now got Westfield very much in control of our kind of shopping centre, and we're working really closely with them about the regeneration in town centre. We've done a huge amount on housing. The Regina Road, which was a real stain on Croydon's reputation, we've been out to ballot for residents to actually knock down big elements of that estate and rebuild. So yeah, we've achieved a lot in a year, and you know, Croydon is a great place, and there's a lot going on, a lot happening, and you know, sometimes we get caught up in the negativity. But, you know, one of my jobs is to promote the positive stuff about Croydon. So we have the context. In that context, there's a lot of great things going on here.
So with something like the regeneration where residents have balloted, where would the money come from, seeing as you are in financial debt? Where would the money come from to redevelop an estate like that?
So with council housing, there's a separate account, the housing revenue account, which is where kind of council rents go. So it will be a case of using the housing revenue account. We'll need to work with partners. We'll be working with the Greater London Authority to get grants towards building new social housing. We want to maintain the as a minimum the level of existing council housing that's on the site. So there will be a number of elements that come into that. To help us, you know, develop decent homes for our residents.
If we can look at today's very sad news, another person has been stabbed to death in Croydon, in Pawson's Road. We look back at the statistics. 5 people were stabbed to death in 2021. Last year, there were no fatal stabbings in the borough. However, Labour's Sarah Jones, who is Keir Starmer's shadow minister for police, is warning parents not to allow their children to congregate in the town centre after school. Croydon saw the highest number of violent offences for 2023 in February, 921 in that month alone. Does Croydon have a problem with youth crime?
Yeah, I think it's not as straightforward as that. We did lose 5 young lives, which was clearly tragic, back in 21. There have still been incidents. So in 22, we still have had stabbings, and we still have had incidents with young people being the victims of crime. So it's not as if it all went away and now it's come back. There's been an underlying problem all the way through. As you rightly say, someone stabbed overnight in Croydon, a 20-year-old, I believe. So not a young person as such, but still young, but not a teenager. And I don't know the full details of that yet. We're waiting to hear that from the police. But there's been a huge amount of work going on with our communities, with the voluntary sector, with the police, around tackling crime. We've got a community safety strategy, which we've reviewed. We've got a youth safety delivery plan. We've got a tackling violence against young women and girls plan. So there's a lot gone into that. And the recent we had recent issues in one particular part of Croydon where a lot of young people were coming into the town centre, and that's the thing that Sarah was referring to. And what we did was we managed to get funding from the GLA, from the Violence Reduction Unit, and we used that to put diversionary things in place. So using local mentoring groups, we've been able to fund them to actually divert the young people away from the issues into more meaningful activities, etc. So we've been able to tackle that and deal with that and reduce the impact of that. And I had a meeting with statutory partners yesterday where we're reviewing how successful that's been, and we feel that things are moving in the right direction. So those issues are underlying, they're still there, and it's part of a wider range of dealing with antisocial behaviour in the town centre, cleaning up the town centre, making it a place where people do feel safe to go. So I'm not fully aware, we don't know the full details of the yesterday's incident, tragic incident, but it sounds as if it's a slightly different type of issue to what we had before. But we are working extremely closely with the police and our communities to tackle the issues of knife crime in the borough.
Reading Sarah Jones' statement, it was very much this, it came across as, oh, this Croydon is a dangerous place for young people. Would you dispute that?
Croydon, there are areas where there are increased dangers, or there have been areas where there have been increased dangers. And I wouldn't say Croydon is an unsafe place, but like many cities, many towns, there are always going to be issues. There are always going to be undesirable things happening. So, you know, there are certain areas of the town where there have been issues in recent months. As I say, we've put resources in to tackle those issues, divert those issues. And what we're trying to do is actually stop our young people congregating in the town centre in the first place. Many of them don't need to be there, that, you know, and so we're looking at our district centres around having activities in district centres, working again with mentoring groups and community groups to actually support our young people. So we're looking at the different ways of tackling it. But it is that wider issue of creating a sense of place in Croydon and you know, creating a sense of pride so that this kind of behaviour isn't tolerated. I think you sometimes get to a position where bad behaviour is tolerated and allowed, and we need to kind of say, no, this behaviour isn't allowed. We don't tolerate it. This is our town centre, and we want it to be a pleasant environment to spend our time, do our shopping, leisure activities, food, whatever it may be. And I think with Westfield being back in the game, we've got a real opportunity to change the town centre. But we need to work with our communities, with the police, to make sure that we are tackling these issues, diverting young people away from potential problems, dealing with gangs, etc. A lot of this clearly is police activity, and there's a lot of resource being put into it.
How important is it that the borough's schools also get behind this? Because children spend 90% of their day in school. So is it important that teachers are perhaps also relaying that message to children?
Yeah, very much so. And schools play a key part in this. So we've had community meetings, schools and head teachers in present. And the police and our education team will be meeting with all secondary heads, I think it's this week or next week, to discuss exactly these issues. And then down the line, we will be having meetings with primary heads as well, because, you know, increasingly younger children are getting involved in some of these issues. So the schools play a key role in this. Parents also play a key role. You know, it's important that parents are able to parent. So we're looking at parenting classes, parenting skills for the community as well. It's, you know, we all need to work together, parents, schools, community groups, you know, the council need to work together to tackle these issues.
So finally, going back to the London Borough of Culture, amidst everything that has happened to Croydon, that's a massive boost, isn't it? And it's something that the town can celebrate.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, we see it as an investment opportunity. It's bringing in additional funding into the borough for the arts, which is fantastic. And it really highlights all the good stuff that's going on in Croydon. We very much wanted this to be a kind of a bottom-up event, not something just directed from the top. So we've had the community very much involved in drawing the programme up. And yeah, it's been great. The events we've had, two or three events already, but we're kind of really building up to the big range of events over the summer period. And it's had a great response. Fairfield Halls has been really busy. And yeah, people are really enjoying it so far. So we have a website. There's lots of details on the website about the events that are coming up. We've got Tallaght Theatre has a run coming up very soon. We've got the Summer of Festivals. We've got Croydon Pride, Croydon Mela. We've got the Food Festival, Carnival. We've got the Music Heritage Trail, which will be launched very soon, which is actually a trail around the borough to look at music venues as were and artists. That we've had in Croydon, so I think that's going to be a really exciting prospect. And also, there's the ability to get in touch to, I know we've still got a lot of community groups who want to get involved. So things like the Mela, for example, there's opportunities potentially for performances to still be added into the Mela event. So, yeah, the opportunities are there. The programme is still being added to as we speak. More and more people want to be involved. But do go, I mean, you can go to the Croydon Council website or just Google London Borough Culture Croydon and you'll end up on the right website where the details can all be found of all the events.
What do you hope the lasting legacy will be from that?
I think the lasting legacy is the promotion of our community here in Croydon and the great community that we have, the skills, you know, the skills and talent of our young people being brought to the fore, and really just highlighting again all that's great about Croydon and that inward investment that that has come into the borough. We had £1.5 million of funding from the GLA to fund the programme. That's already exceeded £5 million of investment coming into the borough through Arts Council investment and various other things. So it's been the catalyst to bring extra money into the borough. And things like the Music Heritage Trail, these are plaques that are being put into pavements and walls and things. So that will be there forevermore. So there will be a lasting legacy for Croydon.
And finally, I did mention earlier, but the Freedom of the Borough was handed out to Stormzy's a former resident, but also Mira Smith, and two very different people, but two equally amazing people, who I guess you're really proud of.
Yeah, really, really, really excited to have handed those out. Mama, 110 years old, someone that's kind of served all her life, Windrush generation, worked in the NHS, you know, served her family, served the NHS, served the people of Croydon. Stormzy, you know, his entrepreneurial work, his work with young people, you know, every year does his Murky Christmas at Fairfield Halls, where he's very generous with our young people. So, yeah, people of Croydon are doing great things, and it's always good to recognise, you know, the residents of our borough that do good things.
Thank you very much, Jason.
Thank you very much.